Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Priorities. It's come up several times throughout my week and throughout the weeks prior, and it just seemed where that was where God was leading me. If tonight had a title, and it definitely does because I have a title for everything, is Building a Foundation of Devotion. Those of you guys who know me, and probably some of you guys that don't really know me, but you've seen me around, know that I am a bit of a sarcastic person. That was an understatement, if you would know. Now, it is simultaneously one of my greatest weaknesses in a person, and depending on your perspective, one of my greatest strengths. I'm not saying that it's a strength of character that I am sarcastic. I'm just telling you I'm pretty good at it. I have perfected the art over years of trial and error. So there's this one particularly enlightened use of sarcasm that I learned from my father and from my mentors, and it's the ability to tell somebody they should or shouldn't do something without actually telling them what it is they should or should not do. There are a few of you guys who have not followed me this far because either you have not experienced this particular brand of verbal jujitsu or you did not know it was happening to you. The latter is a little less fortunate. So when I say this, let me explain to you what I mean. It is an ancient art perfected by a long-dead master of parenthood whose name is probably lost in the chronicles of history. And it goes as follows. Child says, Dad, Joey wants to know if I can stay at his house this weekend and then just ride with him to school on Monday. Dad responds, Well, I wouldn't usually have any problem with you staying at the weekend at Joey's, but we have your mother's birthday party this weekend. Aw, Dad, can't I just miss it this one time? Just this once, son, I'm going to let you make that call, but I know that you'll do the right thing. So as a parent, and as at nearly 30 years old now, I have experienced this from both sides. I have from Pastor John, from my dad, and from various other people in my life been on the receiving end of, yeah, you know what you should do. And I've done the other side. Now as a parent and as a youth pastor. As a youth pastor in particular, there's one way that is my favorite way to do it. It's the most fun I get to have because I know they know what I mean, and it's just as good as actually saying the whole thing. It usually comes when, like, a particularly faithful kid, somebody who usually shows up to do things, someone who knows where their priorities should be, decides to let those things falter. Such as, hey, we have fall retreat coming up, I need you to be a chaperone. And they're like, I want to do that, but one of my friends wants me to go to his house one day during that whole time, so I think I'm going to skip all of fall retreat to go do that. Or what my generation was most notorious for was missing church to go to concerts. I don't know if you guys know this, but for some reason, bands produce concerts on Wednesdays and Sundays as much as they do any other days, and they're oftentimes cheaper. So we took advantage of those and received scoldings accordingly. But so whenever I get this moment, like I'm saying, hey, who all is going to fall retreat? What, you know, this is what we're doing. Who's interested? And I get, you know, four or five people that are very interested. And then I have that one kid that I really expect to want to go. And they're like, well, I would, but. And then they give me whatever excuse they have, whatever reason they have for not wanting to do this. And then I look them in the eye with as much smugness and condescension as I can possibly muster. And I just say, well, priorities. And then I walk away. That's the end of the conversation. I don't say anything more. I do not expound upon it. I leave it at, well, priorities. And 9 out of 10, it kind of works a little bit. They don't often change their what they're going to do. And to be truth, the truth be told, I'm not actually trying to convince them to do something else. Because Lord knows that's probably a waste of time. And if they can be talked out of it, they can be talked right back. You know, it's a flawed system. Really what I want to do is I just want them to consider in the moment and make sure that they're making the right call. I am not saying that you're a dirty, rotten sinner if you skip church on a Sunday night. I'm not saying that. I might say that, but I'm not saying that this time. What I'm saying is we all need moments. We need time with our family. We need to do those things. But in those moments, I want them to look and make sure that the choice they're making is the better choice for them as a whole. Is this the bigger priority? Do you need this moment? Is this family? Is this important, or are you just making an excuse because you don't want to go to the church thing because it's like all your fall break. Either is okay, but I'm trying to make them understand. There are things we're going to miss out in life just because it's life. Some of us have, you know, jobs, so on and so forth, and that's just the way things go. But I want to make sure they make that moment what it needs to be. It's been funny this week as I've been studying this. It started, well, let me backtrack a little farther. Monday, I started studying for today. I studied all day Monday, and it meant absolutely nothing for today. I have a whole page of notes, like 7 scriptures bookmarked, and it's all right there, and it didn't get me anywhere. So I literally just pushed that to the side, started over. And then actually, I watched that comedy special that night, just kind of killing time, and it sort of stirred something in me. So when I came to work the next morning, I started myself down a path of looking into that, priorities, what that means, what it means, where our focus is, what's going on in our lives, and where we put our time and our effort. Repeatedly through conversations this week, between dinners, and even into Sunday school this morning, God has repeatedly brought that to my attention. Chances are, it's probably been there a bunch recently, but now that I'm paying attention, I get to see all the things that God's putting out in front of me. We know as Christians that God should be first in our lives. It's very obvious. It's told to us in Scripture repeatedly. And if you didn't read it in Scripture, definitely someone standing where I'm standing right now has told you before. If no one has told you, please let me tell you right now, God should be first. That's the first thing. That's where we start. He can't just be another priority, though. We live our lives where we have this whole stack of priorities, and we sort of just lump God into those priorities, and we're like, well, he gets this piece of the pie just like everything else gets their piece of the pie. But my argument would be that God can't just be another priority. He has to be something different. He can't just have a certain amount of our time. He can't just have a certain amount of our love or our loyalty. God deserves and has earned devotion. God devoted his life to us. He devoted pain and prayer, and even the Bible tells us that right now, Christ is devoting his time to intercede for us. Christ devoted himself to us and deserves that we reciprocate it. Devotion is a love, a loyalty, and an enthusiasm for something or someone, and it inevitably puts that thing at the center of your life. It's the thing that you focus on, the thing that you think about, the thing that your other decisions are run through before making them. When you have real devotion to something, it changes you. And not just how you deal with that thing. It doesn't just change when you devote yourself to Christ. It doesn't just change how you do church. It changes how you raise your kids. And it changes how you spend your money. And it changes how you dress, some of us, myself included. It changes who we are down to the core, and it changes how we deal with everything else on our priorities list. So I began following this rabbit hole. I started with priorities, and I made my way to devotion. I feel like it's that step farther. If priorities are here, devotion is that next step in. That's something deeper. That's something more. And so I began doing I'm not sure where this subject goes, so I'm just going to start looking at every scripture I can find about devotion. So I pull up handy dandy Google, I pull up my Bible app, I open my Bible and I go to the concordance, I Google Bible verses about devotion, I go to Bible Gateway and I just type in devotion. It gives me every scripture that has that in there. And while I was not surprised necessarily at what I found, I am surprised at the amount that I found, and probably not in the way you're assuming. I feel like God gave me a different perspective this week on what devotion really means. So I just open up and I start reading verses about devotion. 1 Kings 8 and 61, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Therefore, your hearts are to be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes. That's right, isn't it? And to keep his commandments as you are doing today. So that's what you expected. That's what I expected to be repeated time after time, that basically every verse about devotion would be right there, and it would just be this wash, rinse, repeat. And I got some of that. Colossians 4 and 2 says, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's more of what I expected. I expected devote yourself to God, devote yourself to prayer, devote yourself to worship, devote yourself to Him, to keep moving in that direction. And I think that's very much what God has called us to do. Because devotion supersedes our regular priorities. There's a difference there. There's a different understanding of what that means. And then I kept going in Acts 2:42. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to the fellowship and to eating meals together in prayers. Okay, devoted to instruction. It's still kind of where I thought. Prayer, getting together with the church body, that still makes sense. Eating meals together. That seemed like we were going a little different than what I thought we were going to go. It says they devoted themselves to that. They didn't just do it sometimes. It wasn't like a happenstance when they happened to be in the same neighborhood. They focused on it. They made sure they were loyal to that. And so then we go farther, and Romans 2:10 says, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. Okay, so I've got to be devoted to God. We knew that was coming. I've got to be devoted to prayer. Not only do I have to get together with you, but I have to be devoted to you. And not just like just Daryl and just Blade, but like we all have to be devoted to each other, right? So that's a little different. Every other version of the, that I read this didn't use the word devoted. It's mostly why I use the Amplified, because it brought it out the way I was looking at it. So we're to be devoted to one another to the point that I should give you preferential treatment over myself. That's looking a lot like the way Christ did devotion. That's going a lot farther towards a different idea of what devotion is. Ephesians 5:31 says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I got to be devoted to my wife? That's like a lot of work. Again, we're not talking about just being faithful. We're not talking about just being a husband. Devotion is something different. Devotion is love. It's encouragement. That word enthusiasm is really painful sometimes when you think about it. See, we're not just given time, but you have to give effort. You're not just giving words, but you have to give action. It's not just saying, hey, you know, could be willing to do this for you. It's just doing that thing. It's helping someone. It's loving on them. It goes farther than just giving our time, but giving of ourselves. And we're to be devoted to that. Not just do it sometimes, not whenever it meets the priority ladder where we're at that day. Not whenever it trickles down and we make it to wife or to church body. We're to be devoted, consistent. I don't know about you guys, but my time is starting to get really shy. When I look at that like a pie chart, I'm running out of space in the pie. It seems like God wants us to be devoted to a lot of things. And the Bible tells us first to be devoted to God, but how can I be devoted to God and to be devoted to you and be devoted to my wife and making sure we go out to eat together and making sure I pray and making sure I learn? How do I be devoted to all those things? How do I give earnestly and enthusiastically of my time with all of those things? God, you said we couldn't have two masters. You said that doesn't work. Luke 16:13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will stand devotedly by the one and despise the other. We can't do two. You said we can only do one, but then you tell me to devote myself to all of these things. And so as I'm studying, I get caught in this weird loop that I'm trying to figure out. I've missed something. There's some part of this scripture that I'm not understanding. There's some concept that God is laying out before me that I don't quite understand. How do I keep all of these things at the top of my priority ladder? I have all these priorities stacked on each other in my life, but I'm supposed to keep so many of them at the top. How do I do that? How do I keep them balanced? How do I not miss one in favor of the other? And so I started digging really deep. Pulled out my Strong's Concordance. I started looking at the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm looking for some, like, crazy, out-of-this-world word that's going to blow my mind and, like, set me on this whole new path of study. And I couldn't find it. So I started digging into the Old Testament and the Minor Prophets. I haven't read those in a while. Let's just read all of those. They're only a few pages apiece. Newsflash, there's nothing. There's nothing that tells me that I can let this thing go. I can't let my relationship with my wife be any less than devoted. I can't let my relationship with you all be any less than devoted. And I have to still make sure that I'm devoted to God. No scripture, no place in the Bible. There's no deep cut somewhere that tells me that these things aren't as important as the other things. But everything says it's all worth real devotion. And to be honest, the more you look and the more you read, because this is just a smattering. This is just a few things that I picked out because I felt like they made my point. But the more you read, the more things you're going to find. God says devote your whole self to them. God said do all things as they were unto him. You don't get to half do any of these things that God has said. You don't get to partially congregate with other church members. That's not okay. We're called to something better than that. We are called to be one another's pillars of strength and our prayer partners. We're to be that for one another, and we don't get to hold back. My answer came not in the form of some deep three-meaning Greek word. It was not in Hebrew poetry that I could not understand, and it was not in a scripture that nobody knows. I wanted it to be. I wanted to hit you guys with something that was just going to like blow your mind, and afterwards you would leave here thinking, that guy is on his way. I am not going to do that tonight, unfortunately. That wasn't what I found. As I studied and I studied, I just couldn't figure it out. Days of study in, and I couldn't get past this point. This point of God says, be devoted to all of these things. Wholeheartedly, enthusiastically. That word enthusiastically scares me, you guys. Enthusiastically doesn't mean you get to kind of do it. It means you got to come at it every time. So I studied and I studied, and then I did what inevitably, I don't know about for you guys, but what eventually happens is I just go back to the beginning. I start reading where I started, and because maybe I missed something. And this particular time, I missed something in preparation that didn't stand out the way that I think God meant for it to until I came back and read it again. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but first and most importantly, seek. Aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given unto you also. Now, before you say duh, hear me out. Just give me a second, I promise. I think the way that God pointed this out to me is the same way he taught me the difference in what I thought was love and what God talks about as love. So I'm going to explain a concept to you before I explain my concept to you. God's version of love is not the same as we look at it. I love my wife. That is our relationship. And I love God. But those two things in God's eyes are not separate. By truly loving my wife, I am loving God. By showing her what God's love really looks like, I'm doing what God told me to do. I am showing his love to her. And by loving God, I can't help but love people. You see, it's a cycle. It's a recycling system that God uses that keeps love infinite, keeps it from running out. We don't get tired. We can not get tired of loving one another as long as we're loving God, and he keeps pushing it out of us. And then as we love other people, we're loving God. He's returning it to us. And you see, we have a cycle. Now, why that pertains to what I'm talking about tonight. I think the biggest challenge to our priorities as a whole, as a society, as a church body, whatever word you want to put there, is I think we're building the wrong structure. Now hear me out. This one's going to get a little weird and a little bit childish. I got this idea playing with my daughter's blocks with her the other day. So as long as this doesn't fall apart on me, this is going to be kind of cool. So we're going to call, this is God. The yellow blocks are the section of our lives that are God, right? We know this has to be at the top of the tower. This has to be the most important thing of our lives. And then we have family. Red is going to be our family, our relationship with our wife and our kids and our husbands. Whatever family you have, this is your family. this is your church family. This is the body here, the things we do, the things we try to accomplish together, this is that. Green, we're going to say, is your whatever else you keep on your priorities list. For all of us, that's probably something different. We all have different hobbies, things that we enjoy, but this is our want-to block. This is the thing that we just like, we appreciate, we enjoy, so we keep it in there. And if you're telling me you don't keep this in here, I'm pretty sure you're lying to me. Because we all have this block in our lives. Whether it be big or small, we keep this block. Now, we're going to say that we're really good Christians, and we give God two blocks. He's really important, so we're going to give him a little extra. We're going to say he's owed it. Now, I'm going to do this the way that I was taught, and then we're going to go somewhere different. So this is the everything else block. That's our bottom. This is realistically the least important thing in our lives because it has to be, because that's what God told us to do. This thing falls below everything else. Then we have our church and our church family. That's above all the stuff we just like, above all the things we want. That's the next thing on the list. And I'm trying to find the right part of this block so this doesn't just fall on me immediately. And that's not working. Okay, then we have family. And then we have God. And then remember, we're really good Christians, so we have that second God block. We very precariously balance our lives. How structurally sound do you think this system is? I think probably Levi could just yell from his seat and knock this tower over. This tower has no strength whatsoever. And then we start meddling. Can you guys hear me like this? Sweet. All right, so this week, our kids are sick. So this week, we gotta move them up the ladder. So God, I'm sorry, but you're gonna go down a little bit. Oh, you know what? She's really sick, so maybe we're just going to come to church like maybe once this week. God understands. So now family's at the top. And everything's kind of okay. Notice that my tower is a little bit less stable than we started with, but it's still okay. Everything's fine. Oh, but then, you know, life goes around, and we've got to take care of work. Oh, so we have to move family down? Well, I can't move family down, so we'll just move God down one more. That's fine. God can just go down the list a little bit. And there we are. And notice that every time I change this, every time I have to move it, it gets a little less stable. It gets a little less form-fitting. And then we have the really bad day. The day where we're mad at our spouse. We're not talking to them anymore. So they're out of our hair. We're done with them today. Oh, but then church stuff? I'm not doing church stuff. She's going to be there. I'm not talking to her right now, so I'm not going to the church thing. Oh, God, I'm sorry, but my wife's going to be there, so I can't show up at your church thing. So I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to play video games. Today, I'm going to go to the woods and go hunting. Today, I'm going to get out on the lake and go fishing. Insert your green block thing here. Well, then we make up with our wives, and we apologize. And we got to try to stack this back up. We do our best to get it right. Oh, and then a church thing comes up, and since we're not fighting with our spouses anymore, we have to go to that thing to make sure they know that we still love them. But it won't stand. It won't hold itself up, because this system is always changing. Because when we try to put priorities on top of one another in a feeding down process, things shift and things change. So my theory to you is that we're doing our priorities wrong because we're building a leaning tower. Will you show that? This is the leaning tower of Pisa. It is a tower that is leaning. That's the only reason I use the picture. Because when you type in leaning tower, you get this, and then you get a bunch of pictures with like a watermark on it, so it has like lines and signatures through it, and that's awful. So I think we're building the wrong structure. I think we're trying to use a system that wants to feed from the top to the bottom, but anytime that shifts, we move God out of the way. Now, I know that I'm preaching to the choir and that none of you have ever been guilty of that. And we're going to assume that is the case, but I'm going to finish my sermon anyway. So what if we change the way we put our lives together? What if we change the order that we do things? Instead of building a inconsistent and leaning tower that we try to balance God on top of? What if instead we start with God? What if instead of that thing we want to do being the foundation for our lives, we take God and we build ourselves a foundation? Then we put our family. And then we put church and work. And then we put those things that we like. Now this structure is much more sound. I have to shake this table pretty hard to knock that over. You see, I think the issue is that we're trying to balance God when God said, that's not what I want. I don't need you to be devoted to your family separately, your church family separately, and me separately. It's all one thing. You see, it's like that love. Because I'm devoted to God, I learn how to be devoted to my wife. Does that click? You see, because I'm devoted to God, I learn how to be devoted to the other people of God. You see, it's not a system of trying to get some priority down to them when my energy is left. When we start at the top, by the time we get down to family, we don't have much left. When family's got moved down to that third or fourth rung, there's not much left when we get there. But if we do it this way, if everything we do is through God, if your whole life is built through Christ, it changes the way this works. We build a tower of unequal parts that always just falls over eventually. And then we scramble to try to put our lives back together. And I don't know about you guys, but I have way more than once in my life found myself with mixed up priorities. I let that green block get all the way to the top a few times. I've let family slip all the way to the bottom way more than I ever want to admit to you guys. But God said, I have a better way to do this. I have a way that you don't have to try to do them separately. You're devoted to me. Because you're devoted to me, I'll show you how to be devoted to these other things. He takes us and he doesn't just tell us, hey, do this. But he shows us a character that is capable of doing those things. He doesn't just say, hey, go make this happen. He equips us with the skills and the compassion and the forgiveness and the grace to deal with people even when they're the worst. Because sometimes, guys, we're all going to admit this with a nod of our heads, we've all been the worst for someone else, even in this room. We've all been that person that made it really hard for somebody else to do what they needed to do. But when we're devoted to Christ, when we put him first, when we seek what he has going on first, he gives us everything we need to deal with the other things. You see, I never have to move my wife lower on the rack because God has already showed me how to love her. I never have to put my relationship with Ezra any lower on the system because God showed me how to be a friend, because he chose to be my friend. It's a system that says instead of building a tower and trying to balance God on top of it, we build everything through the firm foundation that is Christ. It's somewhere along the way we got mixed up because God even says that he's a good foundation. He said, base things on me, come after me first, and everything else is going to fall into place. Now, I know the scripture in Matthew, he was talking about food and money and all these other things, and that applies just the same. Your job never has to, you don't have to figure out where your job fits because God already told you. You do all things like you're doing them for me. You take care of your family. You take care of your church family. You do your job. You do the things you're called to do, but you do them for me and through me, not outside of me or in spite of me. And just as a bonus, when we're devoted to God, when we make sure that he's the foundation for our lives, we never accidentally put any blocks on the tower that don't need to be there. See, God is a holy foundation that does not accept garbage on the pileup. It's whenever we give that up and go back to stacking things that we get to start putting ugly blocks that don't belong in the tower. If you guys will stand to your feet. God wants us to be devoted to our families and to one another. But instead of doing it after him or before him, we need to start doing it through him. When we look to God first, when we build our lives on him and on his word and on his way, everything else comes into alignment just as it should be. I know tonight is probably not groundbreaking. Maybe all half of you in here are like, I've already heard this one before. I'll catch the next one. But for me, this week, moving it from a tower to a castle, I'm never going to forget that. Because God isn't interested in seeing how well we can balance our priorities. He said, you can fit everything you need in your life if you start with me first, and I'll show you how to do the rest. You guys will just bow your heads with me for just a second. Father, we thank you for who you are, God, that you love us, that you chose to devote yourself to us. We thank you for your word and for your grace, God. I thank you for equipping us and preparing us for the situations of life, for having everything that we need to do all that you've called us to do already available and ready and in the waiting. And I just pray, God, that as we go forward, as we move from this moment into our day-to-day lives, that we wouldn't just push you down the ladder, that we wouldn't just move that stack around until Wednesday, but God, that we would rearrange our whole system, and God, that we would make sure that you're the foundation for everything that we do. Show us how to love our spouses. Show us how to be good to one another. God, show us what sacrifice looks like. Show us what devotion can truly mean. God, have your way. Change us. Be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If somebody here wants that moment of prayer, as always, the altars are open. If you, as we talk tonight, if you're looking and you know that you have that really tilted tower that's fixing to fall over and you're going to lose everything, stop right now. Don't wait till you get in your car. Don't wait till you go beyond this moment. Stop in this moment and say, God, help me rearrange my life. Help me get myself in a way that doesn't fall apart when the wind blows. Help me get myself in a way that if there's a little earthquake, I don't crumble under the pressure. And tonight, if somebody within the sound of my voice does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there is not a better moment than right just now to come and meet up with him, get to know him, because there's a whole different way to do life, and he's excited to show it to you. And we're excited to be beside you and to walk with you through that. Let's just take a moment as they sing and pray.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.